today we're talking about social media, and we've brought in our very own Lexi Alexandria.
Y'all can call me Lexi.
She is our social media manager, and we're gonna, you know, get into the head of the social media manager of a salon. So welcome.
All right. So welcome.
I'm excited.
We're excited to have you. We got some value to share with the audience today.
Yes,
I think.
We do.
All right. So we'll talk about everything. Let's start with where how we got here.
Lexi's unique journey with
Very
Prive.
Unique journey. Yeah.
So how many years have you been with us?
I think we're coming up on 4.
What?
Yeah.
That's so wild.
It's crazy.
So I'll to preface this conversation, Lexi rolled in somebody's minivan. Might have been
her name was Penny.
Somebody's minivan. For an interview with us, and I sat down with
Why?
Kayla basically like tapped me on the shoulder one day and was like, listen, my bestie's gonna reach out for a job. And I was like, all right, cool.
Who's Penny?
Penny was my minivan.
Oh. I thought you like Penny? Were with some lady.
It's kind of
Penny
rude.
Who like picked you up off the side of the road. In a
Monica
minivan.
Used to think I drove a Mercedes.
I
she
did.
Skipped the whole gigantic caravan in her parking lot.
So funny. So, sat down with you. At the time, you were in college and you were working at a restaurant.
Ugh.
Yep. And from there, you started with us as a front desk associate, grew into a...
Assistant manager
position. You're now a full manager, as well as our marketing expert.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you. That's quite a resume you got
there. I know.
I love it.
Started from the bottom.
All right, tell us how this went.
Well, we came in for the interview. I feel like... That kind of just jump-started everything for me. I went to college, 3 years, couldn't pick a major. messed around a little bit. And
just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Yeah. Had a little terrible time. best friend pulled me out of college and said, you need to go home. You need to figure out what you want to do. And ended up at Prive, ended up going to esthetician school, which I feel like opened a lot of doors for me to do both.
Cool. How did you end up in the marketing role?
That's a funny story. You had one of those looks in your eyes. I'm about to ask you a question and you're about to tell me yes.
That was more of a question for you, I think.
Yeah.
How did she end up in the marketing role?
Well, I think that look in your eye was more of like, I see something in you that you don't even see yet.
I gotta be
always
honest.
The Monica strong arm.
I do have a strong arm, but I don't remember why... We chose Lexi. If
you
maybe one
me.
Of you guys can figure that out. I remember what happened was we had somebody out of the salon, somebody who used to work for us, who was now at the suites, who did a great job. But the issue that we were running into is the content that we needed. We wanted somebody who was in-house.
Yes.
So then that conversation started. And how did it end
Lexi
up with
always,
you?
I feel like, dabbled with it, though. Like, you always had ideas of, like, content that you wanted to do. And
yeah.
Like, you were always involved from the beginning. Like, hey, we should get this shot or we should, you know.
I helped her
when
she was away. Like, when she was in the suites, I would send her stuff.
All right. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that was
it.
It
was one of those, what do you think we could do on social media better? And that's kind of sparked the conversation, and here I am today.
Yeah. And I think the number one thing for us was making sure that we had somebody in-house.
Yeah.
So
that was, I think that's what we wanted, because really I think the only negative of who we had before was that.
Right.
That it just wasn't somebody in the salon that was able to obtain the content that we wanted. And now that we had the more locations, it was even more difficult to navigate that.
Yeah. It's hard. I just think about salon owners that like don't have people that help them with social media. Mm-hmm. Like, especially maybe they do have somebody, but they're not in-house. Like, how impossible is that to run a salon social media page and not be like
not be
literally in
it.
There, you know?
Can we just talk about the owners who do it and do it well?
Because
I am, like, so envious of that. Like, that's
unbelievable.
And they're
behind the chair.
They're behind the chair. They're operating their social media, and then they're doing it for the salon as well. Like, that's big.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So.
And we can't forget the owners that don't do it because they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, I feel like, you know, someone like Lexi is necessary.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So... The shift in your role happened, right? You went from manager to, well, you hybrid. You're a manager as well as the marketing. You work at both or two of our salon locations.
Yes.
And then you you head over to Malvern every so often to kind of obtain content.
I either head over to Malvern or Jade.
Jade helps?
Jade helps a lot. Cool. Love the fact that we brought her on.
Yeah.
I feel like we bounce ideas off each other all the time. It's nice to have another brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So recently we brought in another team member to help us as we drifted into the TikTok world. Mm-hmm. And with the company growing, we obviously needed more hands on deck in regards to marketing. So that's where Jade came in.
Yeah.
Talk to us about like a little bit about what you're doing with our content right now, our strategy or what you feel kind of moves the needle.
I play around with both behind the scenes content and just plain old, this is the hair content.
Yeah.
I feel as though the behind the scenes, watching someone foil, watching someone pull foils, glazes at the bowl, anything like that is something that sparks more interest than us just posting the back of someone's head.
Speaking of that, do you feel like it's constantly changing?
It is. It constantly evolves. Trending posts, different poses, different things that are catching people's eyes is always evolving. I feel as though my, you know, that little app that pops up on your phone, your screen time?
Yeah.
It's always very high.
It's always up there.
That's for sure.
What did you struggle with, like, in the beginning the most? Was it like finding the time to like write copy or like brainstorming for ideas for content?
I think it was both. I think brainstorming ideas for content and also captions. Captions got me good for a really long time. I feel like I finally found my niche in that aspect.
How?
I use a mix of, I'll scroll through Instagram and I'll look at other people's captions. I'll see what other people are posting. I'll go Pinterest. I'll go a little bit of ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's always my friend.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. That, and then the aesthetically pleasing aspect of an Instagram. I feel like you see those social media influencers where everything looks so perfect and scheduled and exactly how it should be almost. I just don't think it's feasible in the salon industry. Like, you cannot perfectly cast out pictures to match. Aesthetic was another big thing. I don't know about you guys, but I got a smidge of OCD.
When you say that, like, do you mean like with the grid?
The grid. Okay. The grid to me has to look aesthetically pleasing to the eye, which ours does, but it's not, it's cohesive, but it's not super aesthetically pleasing where every picture, not matches, but like
goes
like that. We have like wet hair pictures on there.
Okay.
We have finished hair on there. We have pictures of like the girls, the salon, like it's like a mixture of things.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it cohesive.
Okay.
I feel like that was one of the hardest parts, was me getting away from like, oh, like that's not gonna look right there.
Mm-hmm.
Type of vibe.
Why is that so important, like for someone, for me, like I know nothing about social, why does it matter what your grid looks like overall? Like, why can't you just put post up? And
I personally think the grid matters to a new person on your page. Like somebody who's just getting familiar with their brand that ends up on your page and they see that grid, that's what it is. You just don't want it to be like a complete hodgepodge of randomness. Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to have some sort of
purpose.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what the point is for that. But it's like, also,
it's like a branding thing. Like, I think when you go on someone's website and it's a shitty website, you're like, oh, I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that you need to put like effort into because it's like a business, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing such a good job with our grid.
No problem.
Our grid.
You're going to bring value though.
Took it to
anytime that you have a question, ask, because that's going to.
There's a lot of things that I just don't like. Why the fuck does that matter?
Yeah.
Like, why does it matter?
Yeah. And some it really does. Some people say it doesn't. I recently just saw something, I think it was on Instagram, saying that the grid does matter because people make their first impression within 7 seconds of seeing something.
But that's the tough part, is like, in my opinion, that's like the only time it matters.
Yeah.
Like, once they're engaged and they like are familiar and they kind of like what you're posting, they're not really ever just going to your page and looking at your grid.
Yeah.
I mean, check out Pre-Race Grid right now.
Yeah.
What do they got going on?
Yeah.
So the grid actually attracts like people from the beginning.
It's like the first impression. Okay. Yeah.
That
makes
sense.
The handshake.
Yeah. That makes sense.
For us, I think it's important for salon owners to kind of know what the strategy is with the marketing campaign in general. Like, for us, I would say we have two different marketing tactics. One being, we're shooting for clients, obviously. We want people to see our social media and come to us, but also something that's really important is that anybody who could potentially consider working for us,
yes,
they like what they're seeing as well. So
that's sense of community.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So how do you implement both?
Implementing both is probably one of the easiest parts. I feel like when I come into the salon with like a fun reel idea, rather than like me walking around and taking B-roll clips of like someone foiling or like washing or something like that, if I come in and I'm like, oh, I saw this reel, let's remake it, they're all ready to jump in and mm-hmm. be a part of it, which I think makes it more fun.
Yeah, for sure. And they don't scatter like cockroaches. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes I'll like come up with my phone and they're like,
yeah.
Not me. <Yep. laughs>
But I feel like that's where if you do have a younger team, they typically are very familiar with yeah. all of this and they're down to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's people who are hesitant about being on camera or putting themselves out there in general, you might run into some problems. But yeah. in that scenario, like if you needed something that was going to be involving team members and they were resistant to it, what would your approach be?
Too bad. Smile yeah, for the camera, bitches.
Yeah, that's so funny. What are your biggest pain points with social media?
I don't really know if I have any. I really do enjoy it. I was nervous when I first took the job. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like, because I don't even pay attention to my own social media. Mm-hmm. I feel like I barely post on my personal page. And when I do, it's once in the blue moon. But when it came to the salon and like anything that had to do with that, I was really excited. And I feel like that's what keeps me going is the fact that like I pay attention to the trending things mm-hmm. that are going on. I'm consistently keeping up with everything that is ever changing, different ideas, trending music, all of that stuff that I can kind of gain ideas from.
Yeah.
Do you ever run into like a stylist, like if, for instance, like me who can't do social media, but like I put together this post and I think it looks amazing and I'm like, here, Lex, here's my post, repost it. Do you ever run into someone like that and like you kind of have to let them down and be like, yeah, this is crap?
No, I would. And I would also never tell them this is crap. I feel like the girls, they do come to me, which I enjoy helping. Yeah. They'll come to me. Some of them, if they're busy, I'll take their pictures for them at the front.
What are the tips that you give them? Like for me, like if I came to you and said, hey, I'm going to put together a reel or a post, what do I need to do? Like, what would be a couple tips? I guess
it would just depend on what they're doing. If it was like a foiling reel, I would definitely say to make sure that they get behind the scenes footage okay. of them actually foiling, of them if they do a glaze at the bowl, shampooing, and then just kind of wrap it all up with the after. Like, it doesn't always have to just be about the hair, is what I mean. Like,
and does music matter? Product.
Music does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Music does matter, which I learned the hard way. I feel like in the beginning, I was just kind of like picking songs that seemed like they matched the video. And now I spend time kind of looking at trending music and pick from there. The trending songs obviously have more push.
So it's better to go with the trending song. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a good tip.
How are you learning all of this?
Well, I took a singular class. Shout out, you guys. one class. And I feel like from there, it's just like learning as you go. Mm-hmm. Like it's not something that like you go to a class for and be like, okay, like this is exactly how you do it. Like our brand is different from say that person over there's brand. Yeah. Like, and we do things differently. So it just all depends on your personal goal as a salon and being a part of the industry and what you want to portray to your community.
And I can't see just like one class being the end all be all because it's constantly changing. It does. All it the changes. Time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what I think, like, classes that we've done recently, even now. I mean, those classes were, I'm trying to think of when we did that TikTok class.
They're, like, outdated now.
I feel like at this point, is it even relevant? And it's only, like, 2 or 3 months
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
It really changes fast. For a salon owner who may be struggling with their social media in general or marketing, you know, what tools or tips would you say would be most pivotal for them?
I think looking into... I wouldn't say you have to take a class. I mean, it's more or less kind of gauging an idea of what other people around you are doing and seeing what is your niche mm-hmm. and what you want to do. I think having the back end of like stylists and other people who want to be involved and want to do the videos or do the content with you is also insanely helpful. I post on the Facebook page ideas, and yeah. some of the girls will be like, oh, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And then that gives them ideas for their own socials as well, because they'll post it there. I'll repost it on our page.
For sure.
You recently just ate a photo shoot. We just had a branding shoot. Talk to us about... It was super successful. So talk to us and tell everyone how, like, the planning for that went and then, like, the execution of it.
Yeah. The branding shoot was probably my favorite thing we've done. The first time we did a branding shoot, I feel like it was a little bit chaos. We didn't really have a plan. We knew we were doing headshots and we knew we were getting in salon clips and that's about it. We did not go in with a set idea of what we wanted. And this time I wanted to really utilize the photographer, utilize what he can do, utilize what we wanted to be as a brand. And with my trusty partner, Jade, I think it worked out really well. We used Pinterest just for like ideas, branding shoot ideas, different things that you could do with scissor pictures, different things you can do with like business cards, all of those things that you can use as like real covers, just or like a flat picture on your page.
So that was like the first step, was like getting like all the inspo. Yeah,
getting the inspo. What we basically did during the day was we would send Luke over to go do something at the bowl with somebody, set him up, and then we would come back up front and set up a branding picture.
Okay.
So it was kind of like we were always doing something, running around. He was super helpful in the aspect of like if we were doing something, he would just linger away and go find something to take some pictures of, which okay. was sick.
Shout out to Luke.
Yeah.
One thing that I'll quick mention is I feel that if you find a photographer or a videographer, in our case, we have a hybrid guy who just kills it.
Does it all.
but basically he's familiar with our brand at this point. I think he knows our expectations. We're super comfortable around him to the mm-hmm. point where we can deliver what we're looking for. Like, really yeah. quickly hop on a call, really, you know, that day that this branding shoot happened, none of us were in the salon. Heather, you were in the salon.
Yeah, I was there.
You weren't. I was not. So it was like all trust in you and Jade
yeah.
and Luke to kind of come together and create this look that we needed. And
I was sick. Blown away by it. Yeah. Like, cause I was an outsider looking in at, I was behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I got to see like you and Jade collabing on your phones, and I got to see like you getting the girls together to put together whatever you were working on in that moment, and Luke in action, and I was blown away. Yeah. It literally looked like something you'd see out of like an LA photo shoot.
Well, it was cool.
I think we sometimes think that photographers or videographers know exactly what we're looking for, and they don't. Yeah, you know, essentially they're not in our industry. They don't know what exactly we're looking for, even if we just show them a picture. Like, I could show Luke a picture of a girl getting a glaze, and he might think that the focus needs to be the brush.
Yeah.
When I want the focus to be the hair. You know, it kind of like, you have to really deliver the message and have a goal in place, and I think all of that comes with planning.
Luke, do we do a good job with that?
I was just going to say, the fact that you even think about that is so helpful for me, because a lot of people would just say, hey, you have a camera.
Yeah.
Just show up, just get a ton of photo, a ton of video.
Yeah.
But the more direction I have that's geared towards your brand, mm-hmm. the more successful the shoot's going to be.
For sure.
Because yeah. we all met up at the front. He looked at our inspo pictures, and it was a done deal after that. I feel like he had an idea of what we were going for. And after that, it was just us pointing him in that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you did a great job coordinating that whole shoot. So
I had a really good time coordinating that shoot. I would do it again.
Oh, well, that's good.
You will.
Note that. Yeah. Yeah. I called her. I was like, dude, I'm never worrying about that again. Like, maybe we should step back from everything more often.
Yeah.
I just won't come into work.
Yeah. So out of like all of the things you do within the salon, would you say marketing and social media are your like top?
Yeah, definitely my favorite.
Yeah,
definitely
don't like managing people.
You know what? I really don't mind. I feel like the way that I organically grew within the company and started, like I said, from literally the bottom and worked my way to the top, it kind of created closeness and comfortableness amongst like the team and the girls. And I feel like we don't really have. I mean, we have, you know, girly drama sometimes, but like it's really not anything too crazy that makes me want to not be a part of that role.
For sure.
And they're all super easy to talk to, and they're comfortable with me, I'm comfortable with them, so that makes the job a little bit easier. I do still enjoy my front desk time. I like to engage with the clients and chat with them, and I get a good mix of best of both worlds is what I call it.
Yeah, I love it.
This is like totally off topic, but I feel like it's important to mention it all. The fact that, sorry, I just like.
I love it. Bring it. Bring it, Leash. Bring it.
The fact that it's much easier for somebody to handle like conflict resolution when they have like rapport with the company.
For sure.
And I think like this is like a good example of that. Whereas if, you know, say we were to hire a manager like off the street, like it's that much harder for people to take that person seriously and respect that person. And I think that's probably like a big struggle for salon owners too.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, finding managers that can get the job done, you know what I mean? Without like coming off as somebody.
Bossy. Well, there's definitely that fine line for managers too. When you're like in that managing position and you want to be friendly with the team, but you also need to make sure you, you know, withstand your role in the company and exactly. Everybody respects that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, pulling anybody off the street, they can come in as a full blown manager, but like, are they friendly enough? Like, did the team respect them? Did they earn that respect? And I think that's the biggest thing. I think it's not something that happens overnight. You earn the respect and you won our team over and they love you as a person. They love you as a boss. I mean,
Like the beauty of like promoting from within. And I feel like that's not very common. And like, it's common in like corporate world, but I don't think it's common in like salon world. No. So if you have somebody in your, on your team, that's like chomping at the bit to do more, like definitely look into it.
Yes, I agree with
that. I feel like I was always chomping at the bit to do more.
Yeah, literally.
I feel like you still are. I feel like your role here is totally not complete yet.
Hold on, let me add that to my calendar. Yeah,
totally add that to my list.
I'll be reaching out next week with some more things for you to do. Yeah, I feel like you growing within the company as a manager, like I just love seeing you right now because everything that like, I just go back to that it's first like a full initial moment. I mean, Poppy.
I was just about to say, can we please shout out Poppy?
Yeah. Poppy's the realest. Prevay's Poppy.
Yes.
He is the best.
Lexi's Poppy is the man.
Man, yes.
But I feel like one of the things that I'm proud of with the company is having people like you who are not necessarily industry people. Like you did not go to cosmetology school. You did go to esthetician school after you started with us.
I did.
So having somebody in your scenario that is, you know, you're essentially creating a career in the beauty industry, but you're not a hairdresser.
Exactly.
You know, so it's kind of cool. And you're like, I couldn't imagine our team without you right now.
Mm. Oh. Melt my heart.
I mean, seriously, you bring so much to the team and the rapport for us is everything.
Yeah.
It matters.
And the clients love you too.
I genuinely do enjoy coming to work every day. Can't beat that. You can't beat that.
All right.
That's amazing.
What's Prevay's strategy as far as like how often we're posting?
So I post between 3 to 4 times a week. I usually kind of sit down on a Sunday.
And does it matter like what time?
No.
Does that all come into play?
So timing. Instagram swears the timing is a thing.
That's what I'm asking because I feel like at one point someone was like, oh, you have to post between these hours.
Yeah, like 7 a.m. and like 9 a.m.
Does that matter?
I'm like, no. I spend about 20 minutes on Instagram engaging with our girls. I respond to like what...
Warming the algorithm.
Yeah, what they post the day before. Or I'll even like people like outside of our salons post. I'll like people that we follow on Instagram's post. Like I'll just kind of like... engage myself. Some of the educators that we've had in the salon, I'll comment on their stuff after they post. Like you said, literally warming the algorithm. And then I'll drop ours, and then I spend another 15 minutes after that kind of going back through and just refreshing the page and just scrolling and just kind of being present on Instagram after I post,
responding to comments, anything like that.
So I really don't think that if you that timing should really matter unless you're going to post and then not look at it again for 8 hours.
Post and ghost.
Yeah, exactly. So the 20 minutes I think beforehand really do help in the aspect.
Okay.
Something that I feel like now that you just said that you post, you plan on Sundays, how much you're posting, mistakes that we've made as salon owners in regards to marketing has kind of been like the same deal with like a photographer, like not giving them direction and then being disappointed when your expectations aren't met. Like that's kind of on you. So I feel like for us, when we sat down and did hire you officially, we had a job description, we had all of our expectations laid out, like these are the amount of posts we want to see. You know, we really gave you a description of what we were looking for in this position.
Yeah.
And that has been great because you've not only filled it, you've exceeded our expectations, but also, no offense, Lex, but if you were never not with us, I have a game plan of what I need to look for in somebody else.
Exactly.
So I think that's valuable. Like, as somebody who is looking for a marketing expert to join our team or to hire somebody, you really need to know what you're looking for before even interviewing. Otherwise, I feel like you're setting yourself up for a disaster.
And be able to communicate that too, because I think we are, you know, we constantly are sending each other like inspiration and what we want, like what posts we want to do, and having meetings every, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. And also, I think there is value behind having, you know, for us, we have several different owners. I would say out of the four owners that we have right now, Alicia and I are definitely seasoned in the marketing more than you and Dana.
Oh, God.
But it's essential to have somebody who knows what they're looking for, right? Because otherwise, you really don't know. And you'd kind of just be like out in limbo, you know, hoping for the best. So I think there's value. You kind of just have to stay relevant. If you're going to be an owner in this industry, I think it's important to prioritize that.
What posts typically do best?
Like the out of the box posts. I feel like, yes, we'll have some of those days where like I'll post a finished product of hair, and the hair post will do amazing and gain a ton of views. And then there's times where we'll get like 30 likes or like 10 likes or something like that. So that's another thing. Likes, really, I really don't think that likes are important. I pay more attention to like the insights, the accounts that we are reaching, whether that be our followers or non-followers, also anything that we gain new followers off of. I feel like the sense of community and like the fun and out of box kind of posts typically do better. The, what did I, that one recently posted one. What did we do?
Yeah, describe like an out-of-the-box post.
I had posted that video of Kayla doing a money piece as like a joke. And she was like sitting on the client's lap.
Oh, okay. So like funny, like humorous.
Like fully sitting on the client, like painting on a money piece. Yeah. And that gained a ton of engagement. I've used videos from our holiday parties. Just this fun that we all have together, that gets a ton of engagement. And anything that just looks different, like anything that's on the grid that just might catch your eye, like you're scrolling and you're like, wait, what was that? And you go back and it's this girl at the bowl with soaking wet hair that doesn't really look good, but it's eye-catching.
So how much time do you say a week that you're putting toward the Instagram thing? And I know it's like ongoing or Instagram, TikTok, whatever. But basically, like, I just wonder how you do with time management when you are in a manager position.
Okay.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
I spend a good decent amount of time on Instagram, on what our strategy for the week is going to be. I pre-plan throughout the week. I go through like trending posts, mostly in my downtime, honestly. Like, when I am not doing something that's geared towards the back end things of the salon, I am scrolling Instagram, or like I'm sitting on my couch with a glass of wine, trending posts, trying to see what I could recreate almost. I say I would probably spend like 12 to 16 hours a week, maybe a little bit more.
That's definitely a lot.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. You keep referencing Instagram. So like, I know there's so many different social media platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, look at me go, Facebook.
Your kids would be so proud.
Vine. You say Vine. Nice.
Shout out to like, Raymond and Sam.
They're thanking Vine. God that don't have accounts on all of them. Yeah. But anyway,
OnlyFans.
I can only dream. But anyway, my question for you is Instagram the number one platform? Like, that's where you really want to be relevant? Like, what about Facebook?
That's a great question.
So I do think that Facebook is something that sometimes we forget about.
And that's like my generation, Facebook.
Exactly. Facebook is, I hate to say like older generation, but
geriatric.
Like,
yeah, we're geriatrics over elderlies. Here scrolling Facebook.
They scroll Facebook. And the one thing with Facebook is it's a hub for people who don't use Instagram. So it's like everyone had a Facebook at one point.
Yeah.
And then my generation, Instagram came out and we all kind of faded away from Facebook, and we took over Instagram, and the generations below us, I don't even think some of the kids these days even have Facebook.
And it's interesting you're saying that, because on the flip side, so many of my friends and people that I know, like my age, have Facebook and don't have Instagram.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's diverse. It is. Your marketing strategy needs to be diverse in the sense of you need to be on all of the different platforms. You know, like TikTok.
I kind of disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because I think when you're trying to focus on all of the different platforms, like the quality gets like watered down.
I think there's truth to that, but I think if you're not present on all of the different platforms, you're missing out on a major opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it's hard for one person to be able to, like, be able to post on every single platform, like YouTube Shorts, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. They're also all so different. So it's not like you could just, like, repurpose and put it on there. Yes.
So I can't just like post on Instagram and then hit share to Facebook and it won't work.
And I think it could be overwhelming. Like somebody like to get the momentum to like start posting, like, oh, I got to post on all three, like four platforms now. So yeah. I don't know. I personally think like find what you're good at and use it. Like I have stylists who are getting clients on WhatsApp. Like, you know what I mean? It's so it's, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I get that because I, in the sense of like managing, like, can you imagine responding to three different platforms, all the comments and stuff? Like you would be so, it's a full-time job.
Exactly what happened to us just now. You know, we have, you handle Instagram and Facebook, and we could not put TikTok on your plate. So we had to hire somebody else to handle just TikTok.
Who does fantastically. She's great.
But yeah, I just think it's important to know that, you know, there's different audiences on different platforms.
I mean, I feel like we utilize our Facebook differently than we utilize our Instagram.
Yeah.
Like our Facebook is usually
So if you were pictures. Only going to do one platform, what would it be? Instagram?
Probably Instagram.
Yeah. I would just say like to prioritize whatever's working for you.
Exactly.
You know, like if you're getting clients from Facebook or you're getting clients from Snapchat, then keep doing that. And then maybe like start dabbling in others. But I think to be able to post consistently on all of them is just like crazy.
Okay.
I got a question for everybody.
Sure.
In regards to marketing tactics for salon owners, do we feel that marketing in different avenues is valuable in today's day and age? Meaning like billboards?
No.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, absolutely not. I drive by billboards on 95 and don't even like, I don't even look at them.
Say this, unless it's all three the same one, like I will say, I'm like, wow, they bought three billboards in a row. Yeah. Like that catches my eye.
Uh-huh. That's like Conley Hockey. He owns like 3 miles of billboards down, and it's like one word on each billboard. It's so funny. It's like accident. Like then the next
need help. Wait, so we should do.
And then the last one's like Conley Hockey.
All right, so the goal is to get 5 billboards.
That gets your eye.
R I V E.
And then you need the last one, Privé.
Yeah. So six.
But no, that's so true. Funny. That's the only one I honestly, because it's just so like, you know what's coming. Like you see a sign that says accident and you're like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
And then you're like looking for the next sign. So it does grab your attention more so than like, I don't know.
I feel like billboards are dangerous.
For sure, but is it moving the needle?
Yeah.
Like, that's my question. No, like, I feel I'm like spending all of this money.
Someone call upon the hockey.
I personally feel like donating a basket to a raffle for, like, a silent auction is more, is going to get more people in your chair than a billboard. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like,
and I know that there's definitely a rhyme and reason, and I could be completely wrong, but, like, you see all those, like, expensive billboards at, like, the sporting events. Like, you see them out on, like, the first baseline. Like, someone has their, you know, roofing company out there or something, you know. And it's, like, I wonder how much – I would love to know the statistics behind it. Like, how much – traffic did that really just get you? How many people in that stadium needed a roofer that night and were like, oh, let me call that person.
It is interesting.
Because I do feel like a lot of marketing for us is all word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And like for me, I'm not going to a stadium looking for a roofer. I'm calling my neighbor and being like, who did you guys use? Did you like them? Like,
very true.
You know? So I don't know if it's relevant or not. But no, I don't think billboards, I can go as far as saying, I don't even know how confident I am in magazines. And I think we live in such a digital world right now. Like, I get targeted on Instagram and Facebook, and I think they are where it's at. I think that's so much more relevant today than look at, the only time I ever even look at a magazine is in a doctor's office, and half the time I don't even want to pick them up because I skeeve them. I think they're so dirty, and I don't want to pick up a magazine that someone was just sick and coughing and touching. And so I'm usually on my phone. So I think the digital marketing is way more
effective.
Yes.
Agreed.
And that was the Go Ham podcast.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode.
And thanks for being here, Lex.
Thanks for having me.
That was good.